Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Paul affirmed in the Ephesian letter that all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. He provides a list of those spiritual blessings: election, adoption, redemption and forgiveness, inheritance, and salvation. All of these gifts are vital to our becoming and remaining faithful children of God. But none is of greater significance than forgiveness. What would it be like to face our God in the judgment with all our sins still on our consciences? Since no evil can enter the heavenly home, we could not be saved if our sins were not forgiven. Paul wrote of our being delivered from the power of darkness and being translated or changed into the kingdom of His dear Son, that is, the Son of God's love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. Paul used almost exactly the same words in Ephesians 1:7. The word forgiveness comes from the Greek aphiemi, which means to send away. It is the same word rendered remission in Acts 2:38 and in other biblical passages. Although the psalmist does not use the word forgiveness in the following verses, there can be no doubt of his meaning. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, 11 and 12. What a tremendous blessing to know God has forgiven us and holds our sins against us no more. Jeremiah predicted of the new covenant, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Jeremiah 31:34. The book of Hebrews interprets Jeremiah as being fulfilled in the gospel of Christ. Hebrews 8:12. There are many questions about forgiveness which deserve our attention, but I want to devote the next few minutes to learning what the Bible teaches about God's plan for forgiving men. Saul of Tarsus, as you no doubt remember, had done all within his power to waste the church of the living God. He honestly thought Jesus was an impostor and ought to be opposed with all his might. While he was on his way to Damascus to arrest and to imprison those who were following Jesus, he encountered the risen Christ. Jesus asked this bitter persecutor of the church, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Paul wanted to know who was speaking to him. Our Lord revealed himself to Saul. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Acts 9, 3-5. Saul wanted to know what Jesus expected of him. Our Lord told him to arise, to go into the city of Damascus, and there he would be informed of the Lord's will. Acts 9:6. There are those who mistakenly teach that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus. If he were, he did not know it. Neither did the Holy Spirit. According to his own testimony, Saul arose and was led by his companions to Damascus. When he arrived in the city, he was met by a preacher whom God had sent. The preacher asked, "Why are you waiting?" He then commanded Saul, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Later, the great apostle Paul teaches that we are forgiven when we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6:3-5. My friends, we thank you for listening today. May God continue to bless and keep you.